Here we go, Dirty Thursday, brought to you by River City Speedway. Today, joining us, guest host for the seventh time in the studio, Stephen Lewis is in the house. Oh, and we're going to be talking with race car driver Victoria Stutzke. Yes. Man, this is going to be great. I am so stoked for this show. By the way, the show today brought to you by Executive Properties. Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Aaron says Chris and his team did a spectacular job on the damage to my aunt's garage and siding. Kept us up to date on the progress, and the finished product was amazing. Thank you for your professionalism and hard work. Hey, get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273. And you know what they're saying? We might get a couple, 2, 3, 4, 11 inches of snow this weekend. Make sure you call Executive Properties if you don't want to drag that shovel out one last time, all right? Hey, if you have any questions or comments for myself, Victoria, or Stephen Lewis, our number is 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. People are already texting in. Good morning, Nick Curtis. How you doing, man? All right, let's do it. Before we get too far deep into the show, it's time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Let's see what you guys think of this one. You know, if you play a Nickelback song backwards, they say you're going to hear messages from the devil. Even worse, if you play it forwards, well, you're still going to hear Nickelback. Oh, man. And since we're talking about Nickelback, let's do one more about Nickelback. You know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, then I think we found the perfect location for a Nickelback concert.
That's the kind of joke you couldn't tell at the old job. So
yeah. Well, I could. I met those guys, and not a big fan. That's why I pick on them a lot. And also, Stephen, for your sake, normally I pick on Canadian hockey teams, NHL teams, but I can't do that this year. I'm not going to. I'm actually rooting for a couple of them.
Well, we got to kind of keep it limited on how much Canada bashing goes on here today. So.
You know, I had a whole bunch of Canada jokes all lined up. Actually, they were more Trudeau jokes.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I was about to say, I think that would still fly, though, right?
So let's see here about this one. How about this one? If Donald Trump and Justin Trudeau were drowning and you can only save one of them, where would you go with Donald Trump for lunch? enough of that one. Of all the Canadian friends I got, I don't think there's a whole lot of fans up there. A couple of things I do want to talk about. Sixth annual Indoor Racer Showcase coming up Saturday, April 6th. From 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., of course, at Home of Economy. This is a great show. They've been doing this now. Well, sixth annual. There's going to be free food provided by Home of Economy, served by the Grand Forks Central Wrestling Team. We're talking their spiced pork burgers are awesome. Brats, hearty baked beans, chips, and water from noon to 2, and that is for a free will offering, all right? They're going to have, sprint cars, late models, go-karts, and more. Dobmeyer's going to be there, Jack Croker, Brennan Mullen, Travis Strandell, the Joey Peterson family. They got all three of those guys, Josh Barker. Kenny Johnson's going to be there with Forks Karting Association. We've got guys from Lake Cameron Ice Racing going to be there. Timmy's going to be there, Nick Umdahl, Dylan Langevin, and more. It's free. It's open to the public. All ages are welcome. Check that out. Sixth annual Indoor Home of Economy Racer Showcase. And by the way, Grand Forks Best Source will be there live. One more thing I want to mention, and this is going to be worth a big round of applause. A guy I have looked up to forever. I still consider probably the best dirt track announcer ever on the planet. And you know, I'm not dissing you, Johnny Gibson, but Pat Mooney, now inducted into the Manitoba Motorsports Hall of Fame. I think that's his third Hall of Fame. He's in now.
Third one.
So well deserved. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since Bill is not around, we don't see Pat as much anymore at the River City Speedway, but it was a staple. Every time I'd get on the golf cart and head east. There he was all the time.
It was
just
like Victoria here. We kind of had to go without him for a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
Come down, So he's making the trip again, though. It's always good to see him when he drops in.
Absolutely. And again, congratulations. And let's welcome our guest today, Victoria Stutzke. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Yep. I Thanks for being for letting me come here and be on this show. This is a really cool setup. I like it.
Yeah, since you know so much about our show, right?
Okay, let's not spread that.
Here, let's do that. There we go.
There we go.
She brought people with her. They know about the show. And, you know, it's funny. The other half of the Bullring Boys, Chad Hoff, it's not funny. He got called to go out to Bismarck, I believe, for work. And so... not surprising. He doesn't get to make it here very often, mm-hmm. and it's busy time for them. But I thought, okay, what are the odds? I know you're almost always in Fargo now. And I thought, well, Stephen Lewis knows everybody, and he knows a ton about everybody. Let's call him up and see what happens. And you're like, yeah, okay, I'll be there. And I about poop my pants. I'm so glad you're here.
That was one of those things where you're just like, I don't know that I've ever met Victoria. I was like, well, I can help, I think. So yeah.
Stephen can never turn down that opportunity.
Yeah, and then when you got here, I said, oh, by the way, Stephen Lewis. And she's like, really? And then it's like, okay, who cares about your show? Stephen's going
to
be here.
Kind of surprising people are still... excited to see me every once in a while. So.
Well, you don't. It's like you come out of the woodwork once in a while now, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. And if somebody was up at like between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., they might run into you. But otherwise, you're not out and about that often, are you?
Well, especially last night. So I'm on a more normal schedule working for Mike now, mm-hmm. but trying to wrap up the NLRA calendar here. Finally, I did put in a late night there or early morning this morning again, and. I think we finally have it wrapped up, but yeah, not so much on the night shift.
Yeah, because I think I think I saw a post from you that was posted at like 2 something
yeah,
a.m. this
it was,
morning.
Yeah, it was another full day of just edits and
yeah.
Try. There's so many moving pieces in that thing that
I'm at the age now, so. Stephen. At 2 a.m., I'm getting up for my second pee of the night.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah,
you know? But then Bush lights at 10:20 in the morning. Whatever I do, right? Let's talk a little bit here, Victoria. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do on the off season and all that kind of fun stuff?
Okay, well, where do I start? I'm Victoria. I'm 24 years old. I started racing go karts on asphalt actually when I was about 12, I think.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We did that up in Gimli, Manitoba.
Oh, sure.
My dad kind of, actually, he initially bought me a junior dragster. We didn't even get that thing to the track before he met, his name's Guy Boudel.
Boring.
Yeah, just a bit. He met Guy Boudel, and his daughter raced go-karts, and so we kind of started talking, mm-hmm. and he's like, yeah, you got to get one, and my dad's like, of course I do. So we got a go-kart. It's a junior Rotax go-kart. I raced those for only 4 years, but it was a successful 4 years. Started winning, won a championship or two here and there. And then I actually took my dad to Vegas for a dirt track race. My aunt used to take me to Vegas for NASCAR. And then we discovered dirt racing kind of like the world of outlaws. Mm-hmm. And I took my dad there the next year. I said, this is what I want to do. And he's like, heck yeah, like absolutely.
Yeah.
So we actually bought a mini sprint, a lightning sprint.
Yep.
That didn't work out either because at that time Winnipeg dropped the lightning sprints. So then he met Paul Veer, and Paul Veer is who I give credit to for getting us into this. My dad became hooked. He's learned everything he needs to know from Paul and everyone, and they got us all set up. And that's when I got my first J car, went onto the track one day, had no idea what I was doing. It was really scary. I was 16, and then I went out my first race. I think I DNF'd, but my second race, I'm pretty sure I was up there in like top 10, top 15 for sure, and I just fell in love with it. It's been history ever since. In my free time, I grew up doing gymnastics. I coach gymnastics. That is one thing that I absolutely love and wish I could do all my life. I'm now actually in law school here at UND.
Wow.
It's been the best experience so far. Living in Grand Forks and being in the States has been awesome. I did my undergrad at the University of Manitoba. I did like mm-hmm. 5 years of criminology and everything, but law school was the mission. That's the goal, and now it's reality. And 3 years from now, I'll be graduated and hopefully a successful lawyer / race car driver.
I've got so many things to go off of right now just from that. First off, you must be Gumby. You must be just like flexible. The gymnastics people, they do all that like fold yourself up like
not
a pretzel.
Not so much anymore. I'm kind of old and brittle now.
Old and brittle at the age of 24. Gosh, I feel you.
No, my bones break pretty easy. I've broken a pelvis and my ankles and stuff. Yeah, I can't do much gymnastics anymore. But.
Hey, should we do this? Get her compared. 47 broken bones.
Okay, I can't.
Five knee surgeries.
I can't give you
two backs, a neck. had my guts put back in. Yeah, okay.
I was about to say, let's go down the list.
Yeah, and the 47 were confirmed. I know I broke a few more besides. I just didn't go to the doctor. Now, you talk about your dad and the junior dragster. Does your dad, does he have a racing background? I know your family does, but I haven't heard a lot about your dad.
So,
and because I'm wondering, if he's got a racing background, was it drag racing? And how the heck did he get you a junior drag car?
Okay, so my dad actually doesn't have a background in, like, drag racing at all. He kind of grew up, he raced, like, dirt bikes and some, like, BMX in here and there. I don't even know what that is, but he did some stuff like that.
Bicycle motocross.
Yeah, sure. And then, and then he got me, of course, growing up, like, he got me into the quads and the little 120 sleds and stuff, and I was really into that. And then the junior dragsters, he actually knew a top fuel dragster in Manitoba, Tim Richards. He passed away, unfortunately, but he was a great guy. And so my dad was always into that, like, scene. So the racing scene, he's always loved. And then, like I said, the junior dragster, we got it. I don't even remember much about it, but it sat in the garage until we got the go-karts. Mm-hmm. And the go-karts is where we really took off with the racing.
Tim Johnson, by the way, is a great guy, too.
Yes, yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while, but I follow him on Facebook. Great guy. Okay, so St. Andrews, Manitoba, Canada. Is that, like, right next to Winnipeg, or where is that?
It's about 20 minutes north of Winnipeg.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great area. My boyfriend and I, we actually, he just bought some property in St. Andrews. So,
okay.
So it's a good area. I want to stay there for a while.
Okay, do you guys, are you outdoors people? Do you hunt or fish or anything? Because my dream trip, there's a couple. I want to go up to Lake Winnipeg and catch greenbacks. And I also want to go to wherever it is where the catfish are. That's so huge.
The Red River.
Yeah, it's the Red, because we have it here, but it goes up there. Yeah. The farther north you go, the bigger the fish are.
You know what? I actually have a better idea. My dad could take you in his float planes up north to his camp. It's called Little Grand Rapids.
Float planes. I haven't been in a small plane since I was in a plane crash, by the way.
Okay.
And where do you think I got all those broken bones?
This has not been a good start. Is there anything else we can?
This is awesome.
At least
I think
you two are learning about each other is the most important
thing. Feeling each other out a little bit. Steven's wearing the same sweatshirt and hat that he wore at lunch yesterday. It's been a long night.
No, so once I got home, I did a load of laundry. So just
you know what?
You know,
I'm one of those guys. I'll wear something like this sweatshirt, which I wear a lot on Dirty Thursday, and I'll go home and hang it up when I get home. Then I put my grub stuff on, and I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's the same happening.
Well, I had to, you know, I had to represent the brand here.
Of course you do. There you go, Speedway Shots. They plug those guys all day long. You guys do a great job there. The float plane thing, I would love to do that.
Oh,
I really would.
Absolutely, anytime. He'd be down.
Oh, boy. Oh, okay. can I drink on the plane?
Absolutely.
Last plane trip
I
took was...
You did a couple years ago, I think.
Yeah, well, the last trip I took was 12 hours in an airplane.
Mm-hmm,
and yeah, I was, from what I remember, I was unconscious for a lot of it. But anyway, so all of a sudden now, and we're going to get back to the racing thing, but we're trying to get a little bit more about you. Law school.
Yeah.
At the University of North Dakota.
Yep.
Fighting Hawks.
Yeah.
How's that going for you? Tell us, walk us through your law school trip so far, or your college so far.
Yeah. So a few years ago, UND Law hosted an event. It was over Zoom at the time because it was in 2020. They hosted an event called UND Up North, and the law school basically did a session, like just an info session. And I was kind of Googling around of what schools to go to because I knew, like, I was going to stay in Manitoba, just it was affordable. I could live at home, you know, home is home. And I did undergrad there. But then somehow I discovered UND and I was like, holy shit, like, this is really cool. So I went to this information session and I absolutely fell in love. And I was like, this is where I want to go. Like, this is my Harvard. And UND Law has been the most welcoming community you can ever imagine for a law school. Our class size is only 83.
Oh.
So as you go on, obviously the class sizes even get smaller because you kind of start to venture out into your particular interests and whatnot. But the staff, the faculty, the students, like, everyone is just amazing. The first term, it was super great. I finished off really strong. This term has been super busy, but you know what? I'm still surviving. I don't got much else to do except study. So I'm doing fine. The classes are really interesting, and I do look forward to the next couple years. I'm kind of interested right now in well, I guess I missed out a big part. Another reason I wanted to come to UND was to pursue an American law degree because I'm a big Googler. And one time I was Googling, and I was like, what can I do with racing and law? And so I came across NASCAR's legal team. and it's currently led by Amanda Oliver. I haven't, unfortunately, got the chance to talk to her yet, but hopefully she answers my email. So if you're watching, you know, answer my email, please. And so I looked up NASCAR and what I could do, and I was like, general counsel for NASCAR. That is the goal. That's the dream. And I knew from Canada I couldn't do that because it's a little bit harder to transition to the States with a Canadian degree. So here at UND, I have the option to go back to Canada if I want and to stay in the States if I want. So right now, the goal, I would love to end up working in-house for NASCAR. It's a big dream. I don't know if it's possible, but I think it is. And then I'm also interested in family law. I just applied for the practicum that our law school offers. It's a clinical practicum. And then I'm also interested in a little bit of aviation law. I might pursue my aviation law certificate. As you can see, my areas are everywhere. I'm kind of interested in everything. But
that's cool.
Yeah, there's just a lot of options. It's overwhelming, but it's cool. This is what I have always dreamed of. Like, I don't know what I would be doing if it wasn't for law school.
Wow. Was it hard to get into law school? Was it hard to get accepted?
Not for me.
Not is that... because you're so smart, your grades, you want to go work for NAPCAR or what? I mean, how was it so easy for you? I'm asking because I know a goalie out there that's transferring to UND and he wants to go to law school. But I think he's kind of dragging his feet a little bit, thinking it's going to be so easy to get in. So I've been telling him it's not that easy, but
you know
now
what?
You're ruining it.
No, you know what? Getting to law school is not an easy path. There's the LSAT, the law school admissions test that you got to study for. That was not my strong suit. My strong suit was my undergrad, my GPA in undergrad. I took courses that I'm interested in. I'm really interested in criminal justice, so I stuck to those. Got that really good GPA, took the LSAT, passed it, got a good enough score to get into UND. And fortunately, North Dakota is actually in need of a lot of attorneys. So they encourage a lot of students to apply here, and they really favor those that want to stay in-state. Mm-hmm. So if you want to come to UND and just be in that small community where you're guaranteed a job out of law school. Like, there's so many opportunities here.
If you want it, it's, yeah.
Exactly.
I was asked, are you guys, can you hear everything over there? Okay, so when you talk about general counsel for, and I'm, excuse me if I call it NAPCAR, because I'm a huge, I was the biggest NASCAR fan in the world. I still watch it, but I'm a big dirt track guy now.
Oh,
but
so am I.
What would you do when you say general counsel for NASCAR?
So when you're working general counsel, you're kind of in charge of a lot of different things. Like, it's not just like one direct field of law. Like, there's a lot of contracting and transactional work, and like, I know there NASCAR is obviously big with media, so there's a lot of privacy and media digital issues that go on and stuff. So you're kind of in charge of all of that. You're either bringing suits, defending suits, you know, like anything can come about. It's just kind of like a general, you kind of got to know a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Lots of business.
So if you were to get this job with NASCAR, would you have to, because obviously you're going to be here 10 months out of the year, would you have to get dual citizenship? Would you have to try to get citizenship in the U.S.? What about your boyfriend? All of that kind of stuff. Would he move down here or just, I mean, that's just way too early to think about.
A little early to think about. So basically, it can kind of get a little bit confusing. So right now I'm here on a student visa. And when I graduate and if I want to stay here, I have to take the bar exam. So North Carolina is part of the UB bar. So that's like the unified bar exam.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of states that are part of that. And if you meet a qualifying score, you can basically go and get licensed in any of those states and practice there. So like if I were to go to, say, Charlotte and practice there, and as long as I get that score on the bar exam, like I can basically go there. The other option would be Daytona and work out of there, because I know that's where Amanda has been working right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida has their own bar exam, so I would have to study and take that bar exam, which I know is a beast. So that's just something always to keep in mind. Also, another thing, if I were to go back home, which, to be honest, might be the way that I'm going right now, just because home is home. I do love my home and being close to family.
Sure.
As much as I love the States. But I would have to take, it's called the NCAA exam. So there's a series of exams that I would have to take to get my credentials back in Canada. It's just like 5 open book exams on Canadian law. And then it's honestly not that big of an obstacle. But, you know, if I were to take the bar exam here, just additional costs, you know, like with the U.S. exchange rate, it's hard right now. Like even just studying and taking the bar exam is going to cost me an extra $7,000 to $10,000.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to really figure out what I want here.
Sure.
And
sure.
I know like the starting salary in the U.S. is going to be much higher than I would say in Canada, but mm-hmm. I have to make those sacrifices and figure that out. But right now I'm just focused on my grades right now. I'm focused on getting to next year and just surviving day to day. But yeah, I don't know. There's too many options.
It's crazy. I can't even keep it. She's just talking and I still can't keep track of all of it. By the way, jump in whenever you want to. This is amazing because we're 22 minutes into the show already and we're not even scratching the surface of what I want to talk about. One thing I did not mention when I was giving him a hard time about the NHL, you're Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a hockey fan?
I mean, I'll go to a game.
Okay, who's your favorite team then? Who's your favorite team?
It used to be the Chicago Blackhawks, I think I just hopped on that bandwagon because I thought it was cool. I've actually been to a Chicago game. It was cool. We had glass seats. It was cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess the Jets.
Okay.
I have to say the Jets.
I liked Bufflin back in the day.
Yeah. I like Bufflin. I wish we had him back.
Yeah, and now he's a professional fisherman.
Something like that.
Yeah. Who's your favorite team? Because you really dig the Canadian teams.
Yeah. Well, I guess for this year, I guess we'll just go Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Vancouver. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been nice. All three of them have been playing well, so. Hopefully they can keep it up. Last couple of weeks hasn't been very great, but
Edmonton, Toronto, they're kind of been on the struggle bus here a little bit lately, my Minnesota Wild are too. I want to talk about, because I want to involve you a little bit more on this, and this is something I didn't know about because I didn't know hardly anything about you. I mean, okay, I say this to people, I creeped you on Facebook, and when people...
I creep a lot.
Well, you have to. That's I call it research, you know?
It is research.
That's what I said. We're going to put a bikini picture of her on, but we didn't. So I creeped you on Facebook, but I want to know about the 2018 interview that you were talking about, because we were talking about trackside and doing interviews and all that stuff, and I didn't know if you were nervous about being in here. It's a little different in here, but I want to know more about that interview.
I debated whether or not to send it to you or not. I figured once I've been on the, when I, my first time on the show too, it was like, once you get past that first 5 minutes or whatever, and you can tell she's comfortable or whatever, you know, but, no, just went up there. A tie into that story is, something I was going to get to. So the whole reason was, she is actually the first female driver to ever race with the NLRA.
Yep, knew that.
So we were about 21 seasons in at that point or whatever, so it took a while. Mm-hmm. So knew that was coming up or whatever, and just started through Messenger, did a write-up interview. I'm like, well, all right. I was kind of in between working with XR. I started doing them on my phone for around here just for content for, you know, our own stuff. And I was like, well, why don't we interview her or whatever? And
had we really known each other at that point?
Not really. Not really. So she was nervous and messed up the first time. And then I'm used to doing them all on one take. So I start the second time and I buggered it up. And then
I made his life really hard that
day. Yeah. So it was just back and forth, just like, is this, you know, so it took four takes, but
it's somewhere out there. Mm-hmm. It's on Facebook somewhere.
Mm-hmm. You know, it happens. It happens. You know, you'll learn to go with it because you'll also learn because you're going to be interviewed a lot. If you mess up, you laugh at yourself. Everybody laughs with you and then you go on. But we got the picture of the NLRA car in there, Dale. There we go. Boy, look at all that sponsorship on that car. But what a great pick. That must have been, I'm guessing, what, 2017?
Yeah, I think we did the full season 2018, and then I did a couple in 2017. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I never knew this. You were the first woman to drive with NLRA. A lot of people think it might have been one of the Hide and Shank girls, but it wasn't. It was you. That's pretty cool itself. What was it like running with those guys? I mean, granted, you got some really good people from up north that were there. I'm sure with Mooney and Balkan and guys like that. You got good people, friendly people. But what was it like running with the NLRA?
You know what? At the time, I didn't know. I didn't realize how big of a deal it was and how it was going to be. I didn't realize that I was actually making history and I'd be in the history books, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't like phenomenal in a late model whatsoever. That car was a hard car to handle. It was hit or miss. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I stood my ground. I was in the pack racing, and it was a really cool event to be a part of. And I got the hang of it slowly here and there. And then we actually got like a better car a few years later. And unfortunately, I haven't had the chance to really drive it because, like I told you earlier, I was focusing on that B mod. Mm-hmm. So I would like to get back in the late model sooner or later, except I remember I practiced, I hot lapped it a few times here and there, burnt the tires off completely. So I gotta get some more laps in that thing.
You know, that's better than the opposite, though, in my opinion. So you don't have a late model car in your camp anymore?
No, we do have a late model.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, okay.
Ward Emery actually drove it for a couple seasons for us.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
okay.
We just wanted more cars on the track. Mm-hmm. You know, when you own a speedway, right, you do anything to make it a success. And we just wanted a car on that track. And if I wasn't driving it, my dad actually had plans to drive it, but, you know, race days are hectic now. Like, you don't see my dad. You barely see me. You know, race days are really hectic.
So
managing two cars is a lot. But like I said, I want to get back into it. And when the NLRA comes to Winnipeg this year, shout out to Brad Sang for helping us make that happen, yeah, to everyone. I'm excited for that, and I think we're trying to find a seat to get that thing set up for me, and sure, I think I'll be down to race out again.
Awesome. Good morning to everybody watching the show, Todd, Keith, Nick, Josh, all of you guys. Thanks for chirping in already here. Man, I tell you what, we got a long way to go here. We got a lot more questions. Victoria Stusky drives number 24 B-Mod, and she's a Canadian girl. And, of course, guest host Stephen Lewis here for the seventh time today. Right now, let's take a little break. We'll talk about Valvoline instant oil change, all right? You know, life is so fast, like you said. Everything has to be done right now. Oil changes, same thing. Here's what you do. You stop into Valvoline Instant Oil Change. They're usually in and out of there in about 20 minutes. They'll change your oil. They'll top off your fluids, check your tires, your battery, lights, wipers, cabin air filter. You'll get a discount if you're in the military. You get a discount if you own a fleet, too. They can text and email invoices and coupons. And if you mention Grand Forks Best Source, they'll knock $10 off your oil change. They're open Monday through Saturday. No appointment needed. If you live in Grand Forks, pickup and delivery is available, too. They'll come and get your darn car, change oil, and bring it back for you. They're 3325 South 38th Street. For a complete oil change and more, check them out. Valvoline Instant Oil Change in Grand Forks. Man, I love this show. Dirty Thursday, brought to you by River City Speedway. Guest host Stephen Lewis in the studio along with Victoria Stusky. So, last year in the B-Mod, you had one win, five top fives, nine top tens in 11 races, 11 features. Not a bad year.
Yeah, you know what? We don't really run a big schedule much anymore with owning the track. I would like to get out more, but you know what? It's hard. And it's hard on my dad, and it's hard to leave, like, his jobs, like his work. Mm-hmm. You know, he owns several companies, and it's just hard to get away. But we appreciate the time that we do have at the track, and we try and get as much racing in as we can. I'd say 2022 was a better season. I think I had a lot more top twos and stuff, and I had two wins. Those were actually my first and second wins, technically my first, mm-hmm, and second wins. I don't know if you know about the infamous story.
I still say you have one before that, but
let's hear it.
Let's just say certain sanctioning body changed the rules kind of late in the season and just kind of missed it by a little bit.
Okay,
so
okay.
I still count it. But
I had one hell of a race, and it was my first ever win, and I cried tears of joy in that interview, and then you go to the pit, and 20 minutes after the race, they're like, yep, you didn't win.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and okay, then I didn't win for 2 years after that one.
Okay, can you tell me who they gave the win to?
Austin Hunter, of course.
Oh, Joe. Okay, another Canadian. Yeah.
He, you know what? Shout out to him, though. He let me keep my trophy.
Oh, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Scott Nelson, just wondering if she plans to race in Grand Forks this year.
Absolutely. Now that I all live right here, I will be here.
Awesome.
And my dad has made sure that that's going to happen. He wanted me to tell everyone that we have a working semi now, so we can get here.
All right, there we go. Dale wants to know any particular rules or regulations unique to Canada dirt racing, but many Americans not aware of. Is there any difference? I don't think so, because it's just a sanctioning body. They all, you know.
Yeah, we're sanctioned by WSOTA, and then we have some special pure stock rules that we allow.
Okay. You know, you mentioned running a racetrack, Victory Lane Speedway. Tell us about that. We haven't even mentioned that yet.
Yeah, so basically 2021, I think, is when we were in the talks of it in 2020 about taking over, because we knew Walt was going to sell. And honestly, there wasn't many people that we knew that were going to willing to be taking over that track, and we didn't want to risk losing it. And so my aunt, she developed a huge passion for racing when I started out in go-karts and stuff. And, you know, she really took a leap, and she and my dad came up with a plan, and they bought the Speedway in 2021. I think we actually got possession like April 1st, like April Fool's Day or whatever.
Oh, sure, and sure.
So when we announced it, we were like, oh my God, people are going to think this is a joke. Yeah. But no.
I thought it was.
Yeah,
it was crazy. And then, of course, we decided to rename it back to the original name, Victory Lane Speedway. And our goal was to just revamp it and, you know, make the sport grow, because over the years, you know, you slowly start to see things dwindle down, and that wasn't our goal. If we were going to buy it and spend all that money on it, like, we needed to make things happen. And so my aunt has done an incredible job. Like, she does things all on her own that I could not imagine ever doing. Like, you know, and everyone who's a part of it, thank you. Like, just making, like, we've sold out stands, and we have, like, you can ask anyone in Winnipeg, the stands haven't been sold out in years. And so looking into the stands now and seeing a full crowd is just crazy. And I think, like, it's one of the greatest entertainment in Manitoba, obviously. And, like, we've done a lot of advertising work with, like, the radio stations and stuff. And so it's brought a lot of people from diverse cultures everywhere. Like, even from, we've had people from, like, other countries, and it's crazy. People come there and they love it.
Now, during the pandemic, had to have been a tough time. I can remember talking to Bill Mooney and talking about the fact that his mom was there for Christmas and had to hide her car in the garage so they didn't get busted, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that had to have been awfully scary to be trying to run a racetrack up there then, when you got what's-his-nuts Trudeau with all these stupid-ass rules and laws, and gosh, that had to have been tough.
Yeah, so, like, I don't like to remember those times, but if I could remember back, like, it was 2021. We're originally, you know, tracks are supposed to open in May, but we couldn't open until, like, the end of July. So we really only had, like, a good month of racing, and we were allowed fans. I don't remember if we were allowed, like, 50% or something, but, you know, we were allowed fans. We had to enforce rules, you know, but it was hard because the dirt track environment, the dirt track community, like, they aren't your typical, like, mask up, get vaccinated people.
No.
So we did have to actually require vaccinations. Like, that wasn't our rule.
Yeah.
And that was something we wanted to stress. Like, that was not our rule. We did not implement that rule. That was the government, as you all know, is pretty hectic. So we had to screen everyone there with their vax cards coming in. But you know what? It was fine. We had people come and check up on us. We were doing everything okay. And you know what? It was still successful. Everyone was driving. Everyone was racing. Everyone was watching. It was great. And then, thank God, COVID ends. 2022 comes around. Well, what do you think happens? Manitoba decides to flood. So we didn't, again, get to race until the end of July. So that was two full seasons that we got cut short. And a lot of people don't realize how much income you lose out on. So we tried to make things work the best we could. Like I said, we started out, you know, beginning of the season lies down. But once school gets out, the stands were packed. We had some exciting nights, lots of fans. And finally, I guess 2022, we ran a full season, and that was like basically our first real season. And you can ask anyone; I'd say it's pretty damn.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it sucked for us. For one thing, not being able to have the Canadian drivers down here. Another thing was the Canadian fans. I mean, I have gotten to be very, very good friends with a lot of Canadians up there now, and we missed them. We here, it was to the point where they capped what our crowd, what we could have. We had a county commissioner here that thought it was unsafe because most race fans are obese and have diabetes. That was actually quoted. And, oh, boy, did I have a heyday with that one. But I'm so glad it's done. We got a couple of questions I just want to go through. How old is she? Marie wants to know. How old are you? You're 24?
24, 99. So I'm going to be 25 soon.
Okay. Let's see, Victory Lane Speedway, what size is that compared to River Cities?
They say it's 0.4 miles.
Okay, okay. Pretty close. Okay. Who's Paula?
Paula? That's my mother, okay. My awesome mother.
She says, come on down to Canada. I'd love to come on up to Canada, Paula.
Yes, actually, that's one thing we're trying to get back is, you guys talk about how we can't come to there, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of you guys that can't come up there, and, sure. and that is something that we've been trying to get back. We actually offer like a $200 tow fee to any American that's willing to come down.
Wow.
Whether you're in Grand Forks or just across the border, like sure. you'll get an extra $200 just for coming, because that's something we value.
Yeah, and you guys race what night?
Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Which that's I could see it being a little harder, you know, but sure. like it's one more extra race day. Who doesn't want
to
race?
If you're into racing, it's not a little harder. They're going to figure that out. No problem. Great to see you got the NLRA back on the schedule up there. Victory Lane Speedway, July 25th. That's yep. going to be big.
You coming?
I'm definitely going to try and make it.
Yeah, I might even have to try to get up there for that one. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll ride with you.
Yeah.
You and Mike or whoever's going on. I resemble that remark made by Coney Calm. Huh? Extraordinary. John, you can hide in the trunk to get across.
Oh, hey, I think Todd agreed with you.
Oh, okay.
What that meant.
Hey, I've got all the stuff. I can go across. I'm not wanted, I don't think, up there. I don't know. It could be. Way back in the days, we were up there. I used to actually have dual citizenship.
Really?
It was temporary. It wasn't for very long. And one day I had to get back. It was like midnight, whatever it was. Well, the border crossing was closed. I just went right through it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
so maybe you are wanted.
Yeah. From about 30 years ago, apparently I went into Canada and I've never left. But I've been across the border numerous times since then, so hopefully I think I am okay. Yeah, I would love to go up there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can find a trunk big enough for my fat ass to hide in for, but unless you got a cooler full of Busch Light in there. I tell you what, your most memorable moment in racing, I know I saw when I was creeping you a couple of them. First win and your first John Seitz Memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about both.
Okay, so which win do we want to talk about? The first one that kind of wasn't a win, that was an awesome
thing.
You know, that happened. Best day ever turned into the worst quickly. But you know what? Some people will accept it. Some people won't.
We saw the same thing up here with sprint cars a couple of years ago. Yep.
Yep. But my first one, that obviously like felt just real and it felt amazing. And I just remember my dad being in Victory Lane, my sister being in Victory Lane. Were you racing at the time? No, she just ran down from the stands. So, yeah, that was awesome. The John Seitz Memorial, I don't remember if that was my first time at River Cities or if I had raced there once. It might have been my first time, and mm-hmm. I think there was like over 60 B-mods checked in.
Oh,
I was
shitting
my pants. I was scared. But you know what? I got second in my heat. I'm like, holy crap, I'm pretty good. And then I made the feature, of course, so I didn't have to race a B-main or anything. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Fell in love with hammer down tracks. Like, that ruined me for a few years on a dry slick track. Couldn't do it. Grand Force just got me hooked to just pedal to the metal, you know? And then I got a top 10 in the feature, I think, something like that. Yeah. And then, that was an awesome time.
There's some great cars that are here, too, that.
Like I said, I don't have the experience that that the guys I race against do. So it's a little bit tougher, you know, when you're not racing 5 days a week, you know. So I came here and tried my best and loved it. And then,
I like her. She says shit a lot. Tim Schwantz, thanks for texting. Does she know about your remote office location near River City Speedway? You know what he's talking about.
I'm
the broken drum.
I figured.
Yeah, there broken drum? Yeah. Weren't we there this summer?
Yeah.
I don't like the drum. Yep. Guess what place I like?
What?
The Bun.
Oh, the Bun. Okay. A lot of race fans go to the Bun, too. I love the Broken Drum. It's right on my way. They sponsor me for fishing tournaments and stuff, and I love those guys, but I love the Bun, too.
Oh, the Bun.
The Bun, you know, we do some stuff with them for their pre-Sturgis party, and it's nice to have these places by the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really like about that. The John Seitz Memorial, were you here for the whole 3 days or not?
Because that first year, I've been here. I've been going to the John Seitz all 3 days since, I guess, 2018 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, so actually, going back, if I can remember now, 2017, I graduated high school. And my dad told me that he was going to take me to Fergus Falls. I wanted to try that track out. So that was my first U.S. track, I'm pretty sure. So I went to Fergus Falls. I don't think I've ever made a feature there, but maybe things will change.
It's a tough track.
Yeah, it is. And I was still in the J car. I didn't even have my Millennium or my MB. So, you know, first time there, first time in the States, is cool, a cool experience. Love Fergus Falls. People there are great, and I'm sure everyone can attest to that. Mm-hmm. But raced there for my first time ever in the States, and then we did, you know, Greenbush and stuff, and then I guess Grand Forks came after that, and that was when I raced Sights. And then this year, actually, I didn't race it. We were kind of up in the air of whether we should or not. I was in school, and I had to miss a day or something. I don't know. I didn't race this year for some reason. We just, I'd regret it, but you know, it sucked being in the stands, but you know what, next year for sure.
I want to give a shout out to our producer, Dale, today. You see that? He even brings me a Busch Latte when I need that, so I appreciate that, Dale. Man, he does a great job. Come on out to Victory Lane Speedway, $200. What is CDN? Is that Canadian?
Yeah.
Tow allowance to all USA drivers. That is awesome. Todd, what a great interview. Such a natural. Practice makes perfect. You don't do a lot of these types of interviews, though, do you, or do you?
I've been on a few things here and there, but, yeah, no, I feel like I've kind of just, I'm kind of like an underdog now. Nobody really, you know?
Oh, but, yeah, but, yeah, but here's the thing. When it comes to dirt track, there's people that know dirt track racing. And then there's people that think they know racing but have no freaking clue. I've never met you. I knew more about you than I could ever imagine without ever even meeting you, but just from hearing about you and knowing the whole dirt track, you know, all the people, the fraternity of dirt track racing. And so we know a lot about you. Marie says she's great. Yeah. So we're going to see you. What's your schedule going to be like for this next year? Okay. Are you going to be able to race a lot? Because people want to know how often you're going to be here.
Yeah, so we're actually starting a little bit later this season just because it just works out better. So in June 15th, that's a Saturday, we have our first race at Victory Lane. I'll be there, and then the next Saturday after that, and then we go back to our nightly, weekly schedule of Thursday nights. I'll be there. I actually took a remote position this summer just so I could go back home and, you know, still be at the track. So I'm working remote from home, and then I'll be able to race Thursdays. School now, like, I think I started school last year on the 14th, so I had to move down here and miss a few races back at home. So that sucked. I had never really missed a race at home. So I had to move down here, start school, you know. But now I don't start school until the end of August. So I should be in Winnipeg for pretty much the entire season. You got to just tell my dad to take me down here. He's the one in charge. He's
Dad!
Just, yeah, we'll come if he drives me.
Yeah, is he watching the show?
I hope so.
Well, your mom is. Your dad better be.
Yeah.
What do you say? Dad, tell him to get his butt down here with her.
It's been ever since the 2018. It was just like, why don't you race here more?
I know. We get that a lot. So, we get that a lot.
I would imagine, though, it'd be tough to run there Thursdays and come here Fridays.
Yeah.
Depending on what you did to the car the night before.
And we have to change gears.
It's two totally different
tracks. Sure it is.
My dad changes gears on the hoist, you know, so we got to unload the car, lift it up, and do all that. And, like, B-mod gears aren't easiest to change.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. That's another major thing.
It's not a quick change, so that's a pretty big change.
Yeah. One of my Canadian buddies, Daryl. Good morning, John, Steve, Victoria, crew and all. Great show. John, you'll have to come up with the boys in the motorhome. We'll bring you back for Friday night. Cheers. I don't know if I dare get in the motorhome and go up there and back with those guys. I shouldn't say that. These guys are some unbelievable guys. And don't call him Stevenator. There's a different Stevenator.
I'm not that good.
Yeah. So. And there is a different Stevenator, the original Stevenator.
Shout out to Stevenator. Yeah.
And I haven't called you this. I've made this I haven't tried to not call you Steven Jesus forever. And I haven't. But now it's Steven Lewis and the Stevenator.
It doesn't fit as more now.
No.
I'm kind of more well kept than I used to
be. So. You know who you remind me of more than anybody? He plays for the Rangers.
Are you going to say Zabetta, Jeb?
Yeah!
That's hilarious. That's funny.
Oh, don't tell me you've never heard that before.
I actually, if you went on my Facebook, I went down, we were down in Iowa a few years ago, whatever. I had a picture, and then I came home that winter, the Rangers were on, and I got to look, and I went, so I put the two next to each other, and I went, okay, so yeah, you saying that's so funny because I've never heard anyone else say it, but I've always known it, you know? So.
That's funny. My son played professional baseball, and they happened to be playing somewhere where NASCAR was, and he had people coming up and asking him for his autograph. He kind of looked like Casey Kane at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So he'd sign his name, and they'd look at it. Thanks, and they'd go, thanks. Not Casey Kane. Rob Studsky, I'm here. Yes, we'll be there for sure as much as we can. Hey, I like that's your dad?
Yeah, that's my dad.
Rob, what a great name. He won't make it home sober. Nick, that's enough out of you. he knows me pretty good. Actually, his stepdad is my tournament fishing partner, so that's pretty cool. Who helps you? I mean, we've heard about your dad and all of that, but who helps you with your racing?
Yeah, so we have quite a good crew on Thursday nights that come. So actually, our neighbor Mike Gloa, he lives at the top of the driveway. When we got into this, he was going through some things, and he got into this with us, and yeah, I don't think he's ever missed a race either with us, so he's there every Thursday. We have Pat Stutzke. He's my dad's cousin.
Okay.
And his buddy that comes sometimes, and then sometimes we have Brad, my dad's buddy again, and his son Daniel. They come out. We have my boyfriend Braxton that has just kind of starting to get the hang of things. So he's fallen in love with this. He's living out his childhood dream now with
sure.
us. He's a great help, and he loves learning. And like I said, we're going to get him in a straight sock this year. He ran a super truck last summer. He was pretty mad at me for putting him in that thing and just saying, go. He's like, what do you mean I don't get to practice? I was like, it's not a thing. we got a good crew that am I missing anyone? I don't think so. I think that's everyone, and then okay. I have a lot of friends that come out and watch every day. And
see, Todd says with round mirror shades, Steven looks like Ozzy Osbourne.
I guess.
Did I ever tell you about I was on the very first season of the Osbourne show.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was.
I never watched it. That's
yeah. Just, you talk about how I was dissing Nickelback. Boy, Ozzy was a whole different deal. He had just came back from his broken leg. What the hell Ozzy Osbourne was doing on a three wheeler, I will never know.
Oh yeah, that.
But
that,
yeah, that thing. So it was his first show back, and he had just got the cast off on his leg, and he was still in a boot. And so I go back to the green room, what they call the green room, for this big interview, and it's all cameras and the big furry boom mics and all. And that's when there was rumor of this new show coming on MTV called The Osbournes. I knew right away what it was. They wouldn't tell me. But anyway, so we're getting ready to do this interview, and he comes in, and he's got two handlers that stand behind him on each side. And the first thing the one guy said to me, it's not going to go good. He's in a lot of pain. And I'm like, oh, God. And he's on the wagon. Okay. As he was drinking this bottle of wine while he's on the wagon. We're talking, and I'd ask him a question. And so I'd have to look at his trainer or his handlers, and they'd go. And I'd go, oh, sure. You know, or they'd go.
You must have already knew that you were going to need an interpreter.
You kind of did. And, yeah. And I had just gotten these like $500 Bose headphones. The ones I wear, I used still to use at the racetrack now, that my wife had given to me for Christmas. The last minute, he wants headphones. At the very, very last minute. So I'd never even worn them. I'd give them to him. And next thing you know, he's all tangled up in his in his chains, and he's all tangled up, and there's people trying to untangle him, and he's just going crazy. But I never thought that you looked like Ozzy Osbourne.
If you would have asked him to sing, you would have known, you could have understood every word. That's always the funniest thing. Yeah,
that's funny how that works.
Yeah.
Jory Berg says, Steven needs a mustache or the beard back.
He's been campaigning for that for a while. Every time.
He just wants to give you like a stripper name.
Well, I was scared I was going to get whacked by the mafia when I first did it. So I definitely had to smooth things over.
Well, you know, he named Chad Cinnamon. Chad off Cinnamon. For not doing many interviews, she's confident. Love it. Gotta like that. For not doing any, I like that. Mustache Mafia, Paul Erickson. Hashtag. There we go. Okay, now we talked about who helps you. How about your sponsors?
My sponsors. So first one I gotta thank is Danny's Whole Hog. He was actually just in an accident a couple weeks ago, so we're all glad he's okay. But he comes out to the track all the time, and he's just hilarious. He's so supportive, and he loves racing, and he sells pulled pork. So shout out to Danny's Whole Hog. Hungry. We got my dad at St. Andrew's Towing, of course. Gotta always shout out my dad and his company there. Smart Industrial was a new sponsor I had hop on board last year, and then we have Turk Enterprises. You guys know Dave Turk at all? Yeah,
a little bit.
Turk's great. And then, not a sponsor, but got to shout out MB Customs for making a badass race car.
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that help that might not be on the side of the car. And there's a lot of people that will sponsor a race car and don't want to be on the race car. Those hidden, you know, you might want to call them an associate or whatever you want, but it takes money to do this stuff. It's not cheap. You're not getting rich doing it. That's why you're going to law school. I mean, but how cool is it? I mean, to be able to get out there because, you know, and we use this analogy a lot. The kids especially, they think you're rock stars.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they go down to the pits afterwards. They want to talk to you. They want a piece of you. They want their autographs. They want their pictures. It's got a that feels pretty cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know what? Over the last couple years with everything going on and the off season, you kind of get caught up on the whole social media thing and reading hateful comments and stuff. And that's always going to be a part of any area in life, the negativity. But you get to the track and you realize why you're doing what you're doing and why you realize that you're doing it for a purpose. And there's going to be people out there that have no idea that there's anything negative going on in this world. And they're just there to watch some racing and drink some beer and, you know, get some candy at the candy toss. And then they come down and they want to sit in your car. And you're like, do you want to sit in there? And they're like, yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And they're like, I didn't know I could do that. And it's like the best thing in the world. Yeah. And then it makes every negative thing go away.
Yeah. And then they're bouncing off the walls all the way home. And mom and dad are like, God dang it, Victoria. Why'd you let them do that for? You talk about the negativity. There's been a lot of it in dirt track racing in the last couple of years. I mean, last year I thought was the worst I've seen in a long time. Being a girl, a woman, in this predominantly man's sport, you don't seem like the person that will cause a controversy or stick your nose in the middle of it, or am I wrong? If somebody wrongs you, are you afraid to go up and say, what the hell were you thinking?
Why are you laughing so hard?
Because I've had my days, okay? I've had my days.
Okay.
You know, I'm a little Facebook paper sometimes. I've had my days. I've tried to calm down, you know, but
I mean,
because
you could punch somebody and they probably wouldn't punch you back because you're a girl.
You know what? At this point, it's not even about being a girl anymore in sport because it's becoming so normal,
in my
opinion. Like, yeah, obviously, we're still overpowered by men, but I put on my helmet and I do the same thing everyone else does. You know, it's not even about being a girl anymore. It's watching your family get hated on and sticking up for your family. That's the hard part these days because they've done
by people
wrong.
That have no clue.
Exactly. And it's heartbreaking because we're just trying to grow the sport.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing. Like, you can have your opinions, but why do you got to share them on the internet? You know, and I'm a big confrontational person. If you got something to say, come and say it.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out. And I'll tell you my reasoning. And then if you don't like that, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, but you're still showing up to the track and supporting us. So thanks.
Victory Lane Speedway says, oh yes, Victoria will punch back.
That's what I was going to say. It was just like, you don't go looking for it, but you will defend it.
You have to.
I don't think there's anything wrong with
you that. You have to.
It's hurtful, and I know the impact that it has on my family, and I don't like seeing it.
Yeah.
And I just wish people would shut up and just enjoy their sport and, you know, just show up and be happy.
Well, Kevin says, I just can't imagine why anyone would want to be negative about racing.
Right?
I can't see it. Love it. Todd, so unfortunate that so many negative people that have no clue what it takes to make memories and put on a show. We don't need any names here. I wish Tom was race day. Billy Schlatter. Anyway, no names here, but is there anybody that maybe you kind of rubbed a little paint, knocked them off the track, and you just went, yeah, take that, you bastard. Or is there anybody that you will not park your hauler next to? Again, you don't have to name names.
I'd say yes to both.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I accidentally tap someone and I feel like crap about it. Like I don't mean to ever be like,
there are racing deals.
There's,
you know,
there's a difference between driving dirty and driving aggressive.
Absolutely.
And I would consider myself a pretty aggressive driver. Like if I'm going into a turn side by side and maybe I don't have that inch on you, I'm gonna try and take that inch. You know, like that's racing.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And everyone has brakes, everyone, you know, but there's also gonna be guys that can't handle that. And
yeah,
that's just a part of it. I wouldn't, there's times where I wouldn't be able to handle it either. You know, that's just what you get. And then there's other times where I'm sorry, accidents happen. I know.
Yeah, right.
Like I remember, unforgettable time in Grand Forks. I was racing sights and my car was just driving like a piece of crap and I could not stay straight. I was just like spinning the tires out of the corners, couldn't drive. I was hitting people and I wasn't meaning to. I should have pulled off, but why would I pull off? I just wanted to finish the race and get some laps in, you know, but I got someone on the receiver was like 24, clean it up out there. You just about hit every car you pass. I will never forget that one. Do you remember that?
I can imagine.
You reminded me. I do remember that. And
gee, I wonder who that flag man was.
Yeah, I do
think
remember
he likes
that.
Me. I was just having a bad race. I'm sorry. It happens. Yeah. Everyone has bad races. But
sure.
He also didn't know I was a girl. So if that makes him feel any bit better. that's when I can use, I'm just a girl.
Yeah. Billy, I wish tomorrow was race day. I do, too. Man, I am jonesing. Are you ready to go for the new season? Or you still got work to do?
We still got a little bit work to do. We're kind of like just last-minute kind of people. That's when we put in the best efforts, you know. My sister's car is all good to go. We had in the car show this weekend. I think my dad and my Braxton, my boyfriend, are going to see Aaron Blacklance this weekend to get the street stock body on.
Oh, sure, sure.
So, yeah, they're going to be working on
Lasser
that.
Yeah, Lasser Fabrication, they do a great job over there.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the MB Customs, it's just good to go. Like, we don't have much to do with it, you know, so it's pretty easy. We're going to put a new body on, hopefully get a new wrap, because I haven't had a new wrap in a couple years. So
I love Thief River Falls, by the way, where Blacklance is. That's where I'm from.
Oh, yeah?
That's my hometown. Yeah,
we were
I consider
just
that.
About Thief River Falls.
Where everybody is somebody. That's their town motto, believe it or not. That was a prowler. I want to ask you a couple of things, Stephen. Things have changed for you. We're used to seeing you doing certain duties at racetracks. That's what you're known for. You're one of the best. You're kind of stepping back a little bit. Now you're with Speedway Shots and you're with a mic speaker doing all this. Tell us about what's going on with you.
Not much different. Used to do a ton of traveling. Used to do a lot of scoring, that kind of thing. Just wanted to switch it up. Got sick of the travel and, like we were talking about the negativity there. Don't really want to be involved in the scoring and the, board member situations. I just kind of want to do my own thing.
Yep.
And so we did that last year, and it worked out well for us at Speedway Shots and Superior Customs. And it's only growing over the off season. Tons of business, lots of new business. And it's a good problem to have, being busy all the time.
Sure.
But things are rolling pretty good there.
You know, what gets me is racetracks would hire you and talk you into coming up and working their races all over the country because you were good at what you do. Mm-hmm. But then you got these people that have no freaking clue dogging you, picking on you, the social media keyboard warriors, and there's a reason you're there. But it gets old. I mean, it gets old, doesn't it?
Exhausting and old.
Yeah.
It ran its course. And I still will... if I'm out at Devils and something happens with MRP or wherever I'm at, I will jump in and help out.
And people still ask your advice a lot, including me.
I text him on Thursdays.
You wouldn't believe how many times I text this guy.
Pretty much everywhere I go, I still know the crew. So I'll just, even if I'm just signing in and I'll just go like, hey, how's it going? Just kind of just get the temperature and see if things are going well.
Feel things out.
Todd
says, Steve is the man with a plan, doing a great job with Mikey, getting blamed for stuff. Wouldn't blame you for backing away for some of it. And it gets old. I mean, even last year with the whole thing, it's funny how racetrack announcers get picked on. We know everything. Why are we doing this? You're a son of a bitch for doing that. Or because you're pissing somebody. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just an employee. That's all I do. I hide up in my booth. I walk down to take a leak and to get a bush light, and then I roll back up and I mingle, and that's it. I have no calls. I make no plan. None of this stuff comes to me, but we're going to have a great schedule this year at River City Speedway. I'm looking forward to this year. I'm looking forward to having you come down here, and I really, really would love to go up and watch a Thursday night up. Gosh, it's been a long time since I've been up. I probably haven't been to Canada in 20 years.
Well, it's been a long time.
I haven't been there since.
I just got a quick question for Victoria. We were talking about social media a little earlier, and like, do you still like to deal with obviously negativity? Never fun to deal with on social media. Do you still like keep up with your race fan community on social media? And people are wondering the best place to keep up with your racing career on social media. Just to give it a shout out here.
You know what? I do and I don't. Over the years, I've learned that I respect privacy more. I do have a Facebook page I'm not very active on, like my racing page, but if people want it, I'll bring it back. I'm down for that. Facebook, I have probably like 3,000 friend requests, and I just am too lazy to go through those. So if I'm not your friend on Facebook and you want to be my friend on Facebook, please reach out, because there's way too many. And then I, of course, have Instagram, but like I said, I like to keep things a little bit private here and there. But if you really, I'm always down to be anyone's friend on anything, but I used to be into growing my platform, but as you become a lawyer and stuff, you mm-hmm. know, privacy is a little bit important, and you know, but.
So, I mean, it won't be long, and it's going to be, hi, I'm Victoria Stusky, lawyer, or I'm Victoria Stusky, race car driver. Yeah. You know, it comes, Al Wimpheimer says, worst job in racing. I don't know if he's talking
former
about being an announcer.
NOSA president, so he,
okay.
he knows the behind the scenes and how tough it can be.
Okay, so he's not saying I'm, like, the worst job in racing, me, or
no,
anything,
no,
hopefully?
No, he and mom were actually board members at the same time
sure,
in the 90s
sure.
for NOSA, and they mm-hmm. know how tough it that job can be.
Yeah. So. You know what? I love it. Man, I wish I would have started doing it. I've been in the business for a long time. What's going on here? I don't know who the hell that is. But
there's one I want to work in if we do okay. have a minute. So a couple weeks ago, we had the Eisenshanks on.
Yes.
We have another sister act here.
Yes.
I don't think we can let her leave without mentioning Rebecca.
Why don't you come here and sit down? Come on.
Just for a second.
We got a camera set up for you and everything.
So, and the reason why I wanted to bring this up, I was actually looking at some of my stats or whatever.
Put the headphones on. Put the mic right up to you.
This is the most recent, the newest female driver in River City's history, the 51st.
The 51st?
When they
wow.
raced here last July.
Okay, so, okay.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Hey, and, there she is.
And while we're at it, so I was going to ask this to Victoria, but we'll just see. So is there something, do you almost feel like, you almost feel like maybe kind of a mentor or like almost like a veteran when it comes to, do you help her out much when it comes to racing?
You know what? Yes and no. We kind of have a complicated relationship sometimes. Like, she's very different than I am. Like my dad always says, if I get in second, I'm coming off the track pissed. If she's getting last, she comes off smiling. And maybe it's because I've been doing this longer and that I'm more competitive in it, but like, maybe her time will come, but I think she's just overall happy just being out there, and I'm out here wanting to win. And she actually just got a new MB Customs as well.
Oh, boy.
So we're looking forward to her improving in that one. And do you want to say anything? She's
get the mic
shy.
Up there and talk. Come on.
I don't know.
Do you learn from me?
I want to, but she just gives bad advice.
Oh, no. Well, everybody's different. Everybody likes a different setup, but is it a tough learning curve?
Yeah, I like to learn from other drivers because they like to give me better tips. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see you up here more this year?
Yeah, I want to.
Yeah, yeah. So Thursday, Fridays for sure, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then we'll get another season, part of a season under your belt, and then pretty soon you're going to be sitting there. And maybe we could have her come over here.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, she's a little
ask away if you want.
No, that was pretty much just it. I just it's kind of interesting to you know, see it with the Eisenshanks there, and then it just dawned on me you're having Victoria on the show. I was
yeah.
like, wait a minute, we have multiple, you know, sister duos mm-hmm. now here. So
yeah,
I want to take the minute to call out this me bubble storm. How do you have one viewer with all you guys' crazy setup? I hope you guys get popular soon. Obviously, me, Bubble Storm, have never watched the show before. And I don't know how popular you are, but... uh-oh, we got something going on here.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. We're going to get you. We're going to make you look brighter. So I don't know who me, Bubble Storm, is, but obviously you're new to the show here. So... Is huh?
They're watching on a different platform.
Okay, well, you can quit watching. How's that? I've never said that to anybody.
And that's how you deal with the negativity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you just decided because she's doing it. How did you get into the racing thing?
Well, I raced a slingshot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My dad barely took me to Morden because it was a little bit far away.
Yeah, yeah.
And just inconvenient.
Yeah.
Actually, she's too tall for a slingshot.
Yeah,
well, yeah, you are kind of a tall drink of water.
Yeah. So then I just, I don't know, just saw it and I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is to win a heat race.
Yeah, well, have you ever beat her?
When she messes up.
Oh, so you have beat her.
Yeah.
Okay, are you one of those people then when you beat her, do you go, nee, 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 nee?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
She hates it.
Oh, I love that. Well, I mean, when you beat her, do you do the same thing?
No.
No, of course not.
And, like, going back to what I was saying earlier, it's also hard because we're on the track at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really get to see how she drives. And, like, you know, when you're learning, it's hard to explain what you do in the car and what you need to do. It's hard, you know? Yeah. So it's hard. And I know that her learning from other drivers is super important because, you know, I am not the best at giving advice.
This is some good advice here. Craig Doogiehauser, and this is, I should listen to him more because I ask my wife, I get so mad, like I just did with whoever the hell that was, exactly why I stay off social media when it comes to the track. Would drive me crazy reading what I know is said. Water off, a duck's back is the best attitude to have when it comes to negativity. I agree with you. Thank you, Doogie. Steven Ader Olson, the real Steven Ader. Hey, Victorious Dusky, remember me?
We were just talking about you, Steven Ader.
I think he missed the beginning.
Yeah. So he must have.
Go back and watch the replay, yeah. Steven Ader.
Let's see here. Rebecca was the youngest to start karting in, I've always called it Gimli, but is it Gimli?
Gimli.
Okay, yeah. I thought so. Gimli is where All Royal Crown is made. No way.
Yeah.
The whiskey?
Yeah.
Are you shitting me? No. That's like a quote from you. I didn't know that.
Neither did I.
Oh, I'm going to have to go up there now. I love Canadian blend whiskey. I grew up on McMaster's. That was my deal in Thief River Falls. Everybody drank Busch Light or McMaster's, so I fit in perfectly.
Another thing about how far these two have come. So when it comes to racing a Gimli, they said it was pavement, but it's also not an oval.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pavement kind of a road course. And I Ward raced there.
Austin but might have too. I'm not 100%
That's
sure.
Always impressive when I hear the people that, you know, go through Victory Lane, then come down and start seeing us or whatever. It's like, we started on pavement road courses, like, okay.
And yeah.
So that's a really
we used to have a Grand Prix-style go-kart track north of East Grand Forks. It's still there. Mm. Right north of East Grand Forks. I was lucky enough, I was just a kid. I got to hot lap about 10 laps on that kart back then. That was pretty cool. Steven Ader, I miss you all so much. Can't wait to challenge Steven Lewis on pictures.
And I will lose again.
So. An airfield, old runway. Oh, sure. And that's how a lot of racetracks kind of start that way, the Grand Prix-style tracks.
That's my Aunt Brenda.
Okay.
Out there with the facts. Victory Lane Speedway.
This is her. Cool. I've talked to, had more Canadians call in and text in today. This is awesome. I love this. I am so jacked about the new season, and it's funny that it takes to get somebody north of the border on the show for me to realize how bad I miss everybody. I get to see him, and last year was a goofy year. My wife had a lot of medical issues, so I didn't get to spend the time with the Canadian friends that I have like I wanted to. I really want to this year, and I'm so looking forward to it. Remember I told you if it's a good show, we'll go an hour?
Yeah.
Well, it must be a good show. We're an hour and 8 minutes and 42 seconds. So
I was so surprised. It was such a nice surprise when I was literally just going through Facebook when you texted. I was already in my mind. I was like, Chad, don't be there. I want to be on this or whatever. So it was just like, and then just another thing. I was like, once these people that don't know Victoria get to see her on the show, it's just like, she's one of my favorites, and now you can see why.
Well, and that's the same with me. I mean, I make my little trip through the pits every night before the races. There's only so many people I can talk to and stop and chat with. There's so many people I don't know, but I've always said too, this show to me, that breaks the ice. Now I know you. Now I know you. Now you will be there's a hair blown around. Now you will be a stop when I go down in the golf cart or whoever's four-wheeler I steal to go down before the races. But I am so looking forward to this.
Learn how to tighten the belts, the ratchet on the belt, okay. Just in case. You never know.
Oh, yeah.
You
never know. Our pit is never a dull moment.
Okay.
Last year, do you know Noel Anderson that works for Jack Kroger?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Noel, I told him he needed to be my pit guy if I were going to be at sites. And so he came and helped for like maybe 10 minutes. Then there's a fire. I'm driving onto my lift and breaking shit. And yeah, it was just funny. We talk about that all the time. It's never a dull moment there. And then River Cities is going to be nice because you're not an owner there. You're just a driver.
Right.
And there's
right.
Nothing else to worry about.
And Steven Ader, I am going to come and watch you race in Fargo one of these nights. My kid and his wife and my grandkids all live down there, and for sure we are going to come down there. When are they run? Thursdays?
They are Mondays.
That's even better yet for me. That's Monday is my free night. Is there anything we left out? Anything you guys want to finish with?
I think this was pretty much just getting these two talking was pretty much what I wanted there. So
this wasn't so bad, was it?
No, I talk a lot.
Yeah. Well, no, you're fine. And people, if you say you're going to talk, if you talk a lot, I love hearing that. because that's just way easier for me. I can sit and listen and take my little notes and add on, and you, now you're prepped. Because the next time you're on, the show is going to be featuring you. You will be the one that gets promoted the week before, the whole week, all right?
Okay.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you guys, girls, this summer.
Yeah, we're looking
good
forward
luck to it. With school.
Thank you.
Let's go Fighting Hawks. They're playing tomorrow night. And Stephen Lewis, thank you, man. It's so good to know that you're there if I need you, man.
You said you were going to need help. I was like, no, you're not.
Well, yeah, I did.
But I just wanted to be involved. Well,
I'm glad you're here. And again, thank you to all our sponsors. Thank you to everybody on the show today. Rumor Sports Bar and Casino has been with us on Dirty Thursday. And I say this every Thursday, but man, I tell you what, they've been with us forever. Go check them out today. Right now, you can get a sandwich and a side for $7. Tomorrow night, let me tell you this. If you want to go watch UND Fighting Hawks hockey game tomorrow night, go to Rumor Sports Bar and Casino here in the Grand Cities Mall. They've got like 9,000 TVs in there. Tomorrow you can go get a pizza for $9. Any pizza you want, $9. Get the pizza, the world-famous beer tower, kick back, and watch UND Fighting Hawks hockey. You're going to love it. Monday's DJ Trivia Night. What a great atmosphere. Love that place. BT, Jake, Scotty, the whole crew. Rumor Sports Bar and Casino. Go check them out, all right? Let's see. Big screens and TV streams at 1 o'clock today. Yeah. All right. Fork Sports Highway at 6:30 tonight. Oh, boy. Monty and Bill are going to be in their they're going to be in their glory tonight. They got the big dance to talk about. They got the NCAA hockey tournament to talk about. I'm sure he'll even mention the Yankees. I don't know why, but he probably will. Brew Brothers coming on at 9 o'clock tonight. Have yourself a great day, everybody. This has been a great show. I love it. Remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. It dings every time we go on the air. You'll never miss a Dirty Thursday. Grand Cities are awesome. They're great. Grand Forks' best source is giving them an identity again.